Very good morning, church.
Good morning.
Hallelujah. I'm so pleased to be here again. Thanks to Reverend Bill for inviting me to, and the leadership of this church, inviting me for a second time. I was here with you 16th of October. I believe Margaret was talking about how the year has gone by so quickly. I couldn't believe that it was a few months ago that I was here. And here I am again. Thanks for your invitation. I did promise that I would come again. Hint, hint. Be awake, stay with me today. I did promise I will come again. Here I am. And not alone. I'm here with my wife this time, Vicky. And she promised she's not going to stay behind. And I said, yes, yes, come along. Let's have fellowship today at St. Stephen's. And so we're here with you. I'm a reader at St. Mark's Kennington, just down the road from you. And I bring you greetings from St. Mark's Kennington. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. I'd lead in a prayer from Common Worship, the prayer for first Sunday of Advent. Almighty God, give us grace to cast away the works of darkness and to put on the armor of light. Now, in the time of this mortal life, in which your Son Jesus came to give to us in great humility, that on the last day, when he shall come again in his glorious majesty to judge the living and the dead, we may rise to the life immortal through him who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Talking about being here again, last time I was here, I said very briefly about the Brownlee brothers. You remember? I'm not sharing now, saying anything about the Brownlee brothers this morning, but what about the Murray brothers? They're doing absolutely well this year, aren't they? Tennis fans and those who are into sport. But you know, it was in January 1972. I was in Freetown, Sierra Leone at the time. And the whole country was prepared, waiting in expectation for the visit of Emperor Haile Selassie. I kid you not, you can Google, you can see pictures, you can check that it was absolutely correct. I was a young boy. I won't tell you how old I was at the time, because the mathematicians would start calculating how old I am right now. But I was selected by my school to be one of the students, one of the pupils who will be out there to greet Emperor Haile Selassie. It was my first experience of a royal visit, and you know, a statesman being welcomed into the country. And we were told not to be late, get there as soon as possible, and the streets were lined up with children and adults waving flags. I clearly remember like yesterday, I was there from 8 in the morning. We were told, don't be late, we have to be there to greet the emperor. I'll fast forward a very long story, but I tell you a very interesting one. He didn't turn up till well after 4 p.m. And quite interestingly, as I stood my ground waiting, obviously we had run out of food. The enthusiasm had waned. Is he going to come? Is he going to arrive? Has he changed his plans? Do the security know something that we don't know? Is it ever going to happen? That euphoria, that frenzy, that excitement that had been building up from 8 in the morning was dying out, and people were thinking, it's not going to happen. Sadly, some of my friends who were standing next to me decided to go and to relieve themselves, and so they left their station, they left the front of the queue, and they went away. Again, I tell you, I kid you not, it was well after 4 p.m. when all of a sudden the siren sounded and a fleet of cars came by more quickly than anyone had expected. But because I stood my ground, was there waiting, I caught a glimpse of this very, very small man. You could miss him if you blink. Very, very small, quite petite, in his khaki, you know, brown suit. And I think that was, if you like, a reward for standing my ground, for waiting patiently, so I could go away and share with you even today, how many years later, that I saw him. I was there in person. Why am I sharing that story with you? Because Advent is about preparing for the birth of our Lord Jesus. Baby Jesus being born to save the world, coming to us as a baby. But we know that the prophets and the prophecies have been fulfilled. Amen? We know he has come to us as a baby. And now we look forward to his coming again. We look forward to his second arrival. Turn your Bibles very quickly to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Very famous words. That's page 105, by the way. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house, someone's marching away there at the back, are many mansions. Yes, we know this passage very well. Who do we think is speaking here, by the way? Who's talking here? Jesus. Yes. So let's start again. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places, or mansions, or rooms, as other versions put it. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. I will come again. Say to someone sitting next to you, he's coming again. He's coming again. He is coming again. Advent reminds us that our Lord Jesus, born as a babe, is coming again. But this time, as King of Kings, more important than any emperor. King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Matthew tells us in the passage that we've just read that we don't know when. Don't you just love it when someone decides to visit you, or you're planning a meal, you're expecting someone, you've already sent out the invitation. Don't you just appreciate knowing what time they're going to turn up? But Matthew tells us no one knows when our Lord will return, when he will come again. And yet we live in a world that is full of predictions, and we've just attested to the fact that you and I love to know when things are going to happen. Some of you would know that many predictions have been made about our Lord's coming. Just one or two for you to bear in mind. The great disappointment, it's called. This was the reaction that followed the Baptist preacher William Miller, who made a prediction that Jesus Christ would return to the earth in 1844. This was what he called the Advent. He arrived at this year out of his study from Daniel chapter 8, the prophecy about the second great awakening. And he and many others prepared for this date, October 22nd, 1844. But that day came, and they were disappointed. However, it paved the way for the Adventists, who formed the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And they contend that what had happened on October 22nd was not Jesus' return as Miller had thought, but the start of Jesus' final work of atonement, the cleansing of the heavenly sanctuary leading up to the second coming. A prediction that was not fulfilled. Someone thought he knew the day. He knew exactly when our Lord will return. And not to offend them in any way, shape or form, Watchtower Bible, tracts and leaflets, publications from Jehovah's Witnesses, each of them have gone unfulfilled. They tell us 1878, they tell us 1881, they tell us 1914, they tell us 1925. And then they also tell us 1975. It is as we bear these predictions and this sense of anticipation and this yearning for a date, yearning for a specific moment, trying to be ready, trying to be prepared, Matthew reminds us, no one knows. Only the Father. No one knows. And so this keeps us on our toes. It keeps us on edge. It keeps us in anticipation. And I think that's the message for us today. God wants us to stay awake and wait in anticipation. Waiting and looking and longing for his son. I love to see heaven as a prepared place. I love to see heaven as a prepared for a prepared people. Because John chapter 14 reminds us, Jesus says, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And when I'm done, I will come and receive you unto myself. So I do hope and I do pray that we ourselves are preparing a place. The scout's motto comes to hand here. Be prepared. Be prepared. And if I were to create an Advent website, it will be an Advent worldwide website. It will be www.advent. And those W's would be for watching and waiting and working for the King. Watching and waiting and working for the King. So please say again to someone sitting next to you, be prepared. I don't want any of you to fall asleep, you know. I don't want anybody to be in slumber. I want you all to be awake. In a sense in which we want to be awake and be ready for our Lord A lovely poem by John, referred to as the Bethlehem Star, says, "Make me pure, make me meek, so lead me to Jesus, a new beginning. Make me pure, make me meek, so lead me to Jesus, a new beginning." Turn your Bibles again, if you would, with me to Matthew 24, the passage that we have just read. Matthew 24. "But about that day and hour, no one knows, neither the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father." Verse 37. "For as the days of Noah were, so will the coming of the Son of Man." For as the days of Noah. This is more than a lovely Sunday school Bible story. But if you have time, I will take you back to Genesis chapter 6 and chapter 7. It is not a coincidence, it is not an error, it is not for nothing that Matthew reminds us, as in the days of Noah. Sin had invaded, entered the world to the extent that it was an offense, to the extent that it brought about the wrath of God. Evil in every section. Filth. Sin. Of every description. And Noah and his family were found to be righteous, to be faithful. There was eating, there was drinking, there was violence, there was anarchy. You name it. That's why Matthew reminds us, as in the days of Noah. Now you tell me, if what we are witnessing today and what we hear about in the news could not be described as what was happening in Noah's days. Sin, judgment, but also salvation. Because just as sin invaded that particular time and brought so much in terms of the wrath and anger from God our Father, there was also a declaration that this would not continue. I would wipe out this generation. It was like our Father was saying, "I'll start all over again. I'll clean the world. There will be a cleansing. And at the same time, there will be salvation for those who come, who enter into that ark." That ark still represents Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
And so it will be when he comes again. It is only those who are in the ark, and that ark is Jesus, that would be saved and be able to celebrate that wonderful appearance. So I challenge you this morning, are you in the ark? Remain in the ark. But even better still, bring someone else into the ark. Amen. When I listen to the events that you have planned this season, my heart is filled with joy and thanksgiving, because what I see here
is a church reaching out. A people reaching out. A people sharing the good news. A people inviting others to come and experience what we have experienced. And this is about one sinner sharing how they have received God's mercy and God's grace. One hungry person inviting another to come and find bread. Come and experience the Lord Jesus. And so your mission action planning, Bill is not here, but I'm sure he would listen to this message, is one that I commend. I pray that St. Stephen's would embrace not just the plan, but God's mission, God's intention for each of you. Because you know what? The important thing about that second coming, I'm fast forwarding here, but I think this is most important for you to hear, is that God finds you faithful. Just as Noah was found faithful. So that you'll be able to say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Faithful. Faithful in inviting others. Faithful in doing what God has called us to do. Faithful. In other words, that we keep at it. We keep working until He comes. It might be tonight. It might be this very afternoon. It might even be right now. But as He comes, we pray He would find us faithful, occupied, doing His work, doing His will. Not packing up everything and going up onto a mountain and waiting for Him. Or locking ourselves into some, you know, mansion and thinking He's going to come, and so we need to keep ourselves pure, and so we're going to come away from the world and not be tainted. No. He wants us to continue doing what we're doing, but be faithful in what He's called us to do. Jesus promises He will return, and if He's not a liar, if He's not a lunatic, He must be Lord. That's the Divine Trilemma by Joshua McDowell. He says Jesus is either a liar, or He's a lunatic, or He's Lord. You and I believe that He is Lord. Not a liar, not a mad person, but Lord. And if He says He'll come, He will. He's true to His word. And He would always be true to His people. And so we expect Him. And so, let me share very briefly a word or a phrase for each Advent letter. You still awake? You still with me?
Yes.
Advent, I believe you spelled A-D-V-E-N-T. And so A would be for awake. And keep watch. Share that with someone. Awake. And keep watch. Not to slumber. Not to fall asleep. Not to remain in darkness. But to watch like those faithful shepherds. To watch like those faithful stewards who know that their master and Lord has promised that He would return. And so keeping Him, holding Him at His word, looking out for that return. D, I believe, next on the Advent list, is decide on the right preparation. So awake and keep watch. D will be for deciding on the right preparation. Beyond food preparation. Beyond gift purchase. Beyond holiday selection, preparing room in our hearts for the Lord Jesus. I talked to someone a couple of months ago who boastfully said, "I've had all my Christmas presents ready, they're all wrapped up. All my Christmas presents, all the gifts that I'm going to give out, they're all wrapped up and waiting to be delivered." I thought, how organized. But then I also thought, Is this what Christmas is about? Yes, as important as that is, but the right preparation. So some consolation for those who are disorganized like me, who haven't bought presents yet. No, I'm not acknowledging disorganization or being disorganized. But some consolation. The right preparation is first and foremost room in our hearts for Jesus. Just as there was no room for him to be born, we pray that in our hearts and in our lives, we would enthrone him and declare that I am making space, I am making room amidst my busy preparation, amidst all that I have to do for the most important thing. We're going to sing later on a song that I love so well, All I Want Held Dear. That most important thing. So A, awake and keep watch. D, deciding on the right preparation. V, talks about vigilance. Vigilance is the key. Vigilance is the key. Let me also tell you that just after this lovely story in Matthew chapter 24, Matthew goes on to tell us about the five wise virgins and the five foolish virgins, those who were waiting for the bridegroom. Five were wise and five were foolish. Continuing on that theme of being vigilant and expecting the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and not missing out on this wonderful celebration. So A would be for awake and keep watch. I pray that we remain a watchful people. D will be for deciding on the right preparation, knowing what is right and sticking or staying with the most important thing. And V would be for vigilance, which is the key. E would be for expect the unexpected. Expect the unexpected. Paul reminds us in Thessalonians that Christ our Lord would come as a thief in the night. At a time when he is most expected, when we would say security, when we would say all is fine, when we would say it is well, are we doing fine? Eating and drinking and business as usual, just carrying on with life. By the time you know it, he arrives. That's what the Bible says. Not a date, but we're told to remain vigilant, to be aware of the signs, to be aware of God's word, and be on the lookout. And as I come to a close with before, no one will miss it. No one will miss it. Forget about these predictions. Every eye, the Bible says, will. Oh, some of you are falling asleep now. Every eye will. No one will miss it. Whether you're part of that celebration party is another matter, but I pray we all are, because we're ready, we're waiting. But no one will miss it. And that's a key to guard and to use against every prediction that may have said he's coming on a particular day. No one will miss it. It will be such a visible entrance. And so loud, so dramatic. The Bible says every eye will see him. So no one will miss it. And I pray that you and I will not. Paul even says, even those who have died in the faith, died in Christ, they would hear that trumpet sound. Isn't that fantastic? That even the dead will hear that trumpet sound. Those who have gone ahead in faith will not miss it. So A, awake and keep watch as I come to a close.
D will be deciding on the right preparation. And V, vigilance, is the key. E expects the unexpected. N, no one will miss it. T, finally, the wise still seek him. The wise still seek him. To seek him with all of our hearts. To wait in longing expectation. To realize, indeed, that Advent reminds us that as we advance towards Christ's coming, not as a baby this time, born in a manger, that we know has already taken place, thank God. But as we advance in preparation to a time when he comes as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, I pray he finds us watching and waiting and working for him. God bless you.